We're going to be in Ephesians. So if you want to go to Ephesians 1, we're going to start there today. And we're going to learn some important things about the eternal character of God. The book of Ephesians is found in the New Testament, and its authorship is attributed to, do you know who? I'm on the internet. There you go. Very good, Cody. Paul. Paul is the author of Ephesians. Now, two big ideas are found in Ephesians. First, Paul teaches us that God's love is so high and wide and long and deep that it surpasses knowledge. God's love is infinite. It cannot be fully understood with human reasoning, nor fully explained with human language. Instead, God's transformative and all-encompassing love is meant to be experienced in both personal and communal ways. God's love is less a piece of doctrine to understand and more about something to encounter together that heals us and sets us free. Who here likes to be bound up? Do you really like being bound up? Bound up in sin, bound up in troubles, bound up in worries? I don't. Guess what? We have a Savior that has come and said, hey, you can be set free. Amen? You can be set free. Boy, I tell you, there are times when I look back on my life and I know it wasn't the time yet, because God has his perfect timing. He has his perfect timing. But sometimes I wish that it was earlier on in my life, because there would have been so many things that may not have happened, you know, and I wish I had that intimate relationship with them early. Youth, this is your time. I'm telling you right now, get close to Jesus. He will help you throughout your life, through your schooling. You guys know, who likes to take tests? You guys like to take tests? You guys like to take tests? No? I never like taking tests, especially preparing for them, because it took a lot of study time. You know? But one of the things is that I've seen many younger Christians do is come before Jesus before the test and pray, Lord. Not that they didn't study, because the Lord helped them study, because that's part, you need to do that, right? But Lord, help me to get through this. Help me to remember everything that I've been taught, that I've learned, so that I can do well on this test. I don't know about you, but do you go blank when it comes to test time? I know that I've had that problem, you know, been studying and studying and studied, and then I try to remember what I studied. I'm going, I don't remember what it was. So I asked Jesus to be part of that. He's there. You know, the second big idea is that God in his love is going to bring all things in heaven and earth under Christ. He is going to bring all things in heaven and earth together under Christ. God's math is different than our math. You know, 1 + 1 = 2. That's our math, right? That's not God's math. God's math is infinite, right? As humans, we're really good at division, aren't we? We're pros at division. We are pros at dividing people. All you got to do is look at what's going on in our world today. How much division is there? There's a lot. A lot of people say the wrong things. That's how President Trump got shot. Is by all the stuff that flies around, you know, that people supposedly know his heart, which they don't. God knows his heart. He does know his heart. God knows President Biden's heart. Okay? I don't like it. I do not like it when others make fun of him for not being able to put a sentence together, for forgetting things. Because I'm going to tell you right now, every one of us gets old. Okay? Every one of us does. Every one of us will come to a place in our lives where we'll forget the names of our children and repeat it and repeat it. You know, I mean, you know, there's times when I was calling Emily Ellie and Ellie Emily. My granddaughter's Ellie. My daughter is Emily. But there's a time in your life when that will happen. Parents, you know this. When you're upset at your child and you go through, depending on how many kids you have, the long list of children's names before you get to the one, right? The one that you wanted to come out of your mouth the first time. So really, have compassion, have empathy on our president. It's not his fault. This is what he's going through right now. And he can use our prayers. And we're supposed to pray. I don't care if you're on the right side of the aisle or the left side of the aisle. It doesn't matter. We're supposed to pray for our leaders. You know, and I think a lot of what's going on, and I've seen a lot of Christians, I see a lot of Christian posts making fun of our president on Facebook. That's not okay. Okay, we talk about kids being bullied on Facebook. It's the same thing. He may be an adult, but it's bullying. Okay, and it's divisive. And we do not need to go there. See, we have Protestants and Catholics, Republicans and Democrats, atheists and Christians, Jews and Muslims, gay and straight, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Have all these labels. We divide ourselves into different tribes and go to war with one another. We see this everywhere, all the time, especially now in the United States as we're in another election season. I remember the day that Trump got shot. President Biden came out and said, we need to end this, which is fact. But then the next thing that he said, he attacked him again. All this anger and vitriol and name calling and, you know, putting labels on people has to stop. We cannot live peacefully on this earth with that continuing to go on. And right now, there are many that are divided. What the book of Ephesians teaches us is that even amidst all of this division, God is going to unify us. All of us. one day under Christ. Now, this is really good news. God is going to break down the petty walls that divide us. Now, those are the two big ideas. We're going to go ahead and we're going to begin reading in Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm going to go ahead and begin in verse 1. And we're going to read until, I believe it's verse 14, yeah. We're going to go to verse 14. So let's go ahead and stand for the reading of God's word. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning of verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Father God, Lord, we thank you for this time that we have together with you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your word and how you speak to us through it in our lives. Father, I ask that your word would not return void, Father, that we would be able to walk it out, Lord. And Lord, that you would receive the glory, honor, and praise that you so much deserve, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, in many ways, the opening chapter of Ephesians follows the structure of a typical letter that's written in the Roman world. There's a salutation from the sender to the recipients. Paul, an apostle of Christ, to God's holy people in Ephesus, in verse 1. This is followed by a typical greeting. Here Paul writes, "Grace and peace to you," in verse 2. And then in the Roman world, the letter would include a section of thanksgiving and prayer. Verses 3 through 14 would fit into this category. Let's read that again. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. So first, I want to point out that we need to do an identity check here. See, God sees us as sons and daughters. Sons and daughters. There are many things that stand out in verses 3-8, but the one I want to focus on today is that God, in his love, predestined us to be adopted as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ. God has adopted you into his family. You are his child. We are his children. Why did God do this, you may ask? Why did he do this? You know, I don't know if any of you have been through adoption. I have, when I married Nanette. Went through a process in the courts, and I adopted Emily as my daughter. Well, why would I do something like that? Why would I do something like that? Well, Jesus adopted us. You see, God's people are who originally? The Jewish nation, the Israelites. Those are his children. But God's love was greater than that. And so he chose to adopt us. And I am so grateful for that. And I remember, you know, Emily was excited about this at that time. I think she was, what was it, first grade, second grade? Something like first grade. We went to her class. They had a big thing at her classroom, you know, a celebration. So, they, you know, the school got involved in celebrating. And, you know, there's a celebration in heaven every time one comes to Jesus. There's a celebration. And you know, we'll know what those celebrations are like when we get there. Amen? I think it's going to be one big party. I mean, it's going to be something like we would never have imagined. See, we are his children. We are his children. Ephesians says he did this in love. It's because he loved us that he adopted us as his children. God's adopting you has very little to do with you and very much to do with him. God's core nature is self-giving love. And one of the best ways God could express this love is to adopt you and me into his family. I don't know about you, but I am so grateful that he has done this. See, God sees you as a son or daughter. He does not see you as a servant. He does not see you as a sinner, although a sinner you surely are. He does not see you as a failure, nor as a disappointment. He does not see you in your self-centered or self-created identity as a teacher, as a realtor, as a homemaker, as an administrator, as a lawyer, as a manager, entrepreneur, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He doesn't see you as those things. Those are labels that we create here on earth. He does not see you according to your job. You may get your identity from your work or your school, but he does not, God does not see you that way. God sees you as his son or as his daughter. End of story. End of story. See, if you're a son or daughter, guess what? That means you are not an orphan. If you're a son or daughter, that means you're not an orphan. That means you're not alone because you're adopted and you have a father in heaven who will provide for you. See, when I adopted Emily, of course, I adopted her with the pretense that her father, her biological father, continued to have a relationship with her, because I believe that is important. It is important for the parents, the biological parents, to have that relationship with their child. Now, I was happy to adopt her. I would give her the shirt off my back. And I wanted to provide for her. Talking about orphans, though, orphans are vulnerable in two ways. They lack provision and they lack protection. See, if you do not walk in an identity of sonship or daughtership, you may walk in an orphan spirit. This means you carry the same concerns that orphans carry. The orphan spirit worries about provision. Am I going to be able to get the food that I need in order to survive? Am I going to have a home, a warm home, in order to live so that I don't get sick? Am I going to be able to be educated and go to school? See, these are some of the needs that we need. Am I going to be able to be provided with clean, fresh drinking water? Do you know that there are countries out there that do not have that? We are very blessed and fortunate to live where we live in this nation. See, the orphan spirit worries about provision, but if you walk in an identity as a son or daughter, these verses become real to you. Let's point out some verses here. Philippians 4:19, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." That is a promise. Needs, okay? Sometimes we have a real hard time defining what a need and a want is, don't we? Sometimes we have a really hard time doing that. Matthew 6:31 through 33 says, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Your needs, they're provided for. Seek him. 2 Corinthians 9:8, "And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." Psalm 34:10 says, "The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." J. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. I remember growing up, my mom and dad, of course, were divorced when I was young, I think like around two years old, I guess it was. I went to live with my dad when I was 7 and my stepmom. Growing up as a teenager in Burbank, California, there's a lot of things. You see a lot of things. People dress in a certain way, you know. Now, remember, I did not grow up in a Christian home, okay? So everything that passed by my eyes, all the fads, we didn't have iPhones back then. Let's see, what was the biggest thing back when I was growing up? Probably skateboards. A nice one, an expensive one. They were expensive. And of course, my dad was working three jobs. He was a full-time police officer. He worked part-time as a security on the movie sets. And then he worked at a jewelry store. And then plus he sold Amway. We'll make it 4. So he did quite a bit. Partly why I think he passed away is because he was doing too much. And his heart gave out. But see, here's the thing. We see these things in the world. Now it's what? iPhones. Right? iPhones are a big thing, right? Right, guys? Got to have an iPhone or you're not cool. Right? I think when I was in school, if you're not wearing Grapevines, you're not cool. If you're not wearing surfer wear, because down in California, that's surf country. If you're not wearing that, you're not cool. Right? Today, it's iPhones. Any technology type stuff. Of course, vehicles are still probably at the top of the list. What type of vehicle you drive. I didn't care what type of vehicle I was going to drive. I just wanted a vehicle. But my dad put a stipulation on it. My dad said, if you get straight A's, I will buy you your vehicle. I missed it by 1 A. You know how heartbreaking that is? I missed it by 1 A. The rule was straight A's. And I didn't get it. The other rule was, if you want to go to work, you will pay room and board. I was 15 years old. I paid room and board from the time I was 15 years old with my first job. My dad took a percentage of my check, every paycheck. I asked why, and he didn't get upset with me. He thought that was a reasonable question as to why. And he said, this is to teach you responsibility. Because when you leave the home, you will have bills to pay. So I said, okay. But the other thing along with that was I got to buy my own school clothes. Okay, my parents didn't buy my school clothes. I bought them. Because then I got to wear what I wanted to wear. My money, I spend it my way. And my parents were good with that. That means they didn't have to buy the clothes, right? Bikes. You know, I wanted a nice 10-speed bike. Back then, those were pretty popular. I bought that. I had to mow the lawn every week with a push mower. Not anymore. When I got my first job, guess what? I bought a powered lawnmower. I was like, my dad was happy. is like he's making decisions on his own. He's making those decisions, and it's, you know, that was a good thing. He was teaching me something here, and it was valuable. See, moms and dads are responsible for feeding, roof over your head, an education, you know, to clothe you, but it's not to clothe you by what you want. It's to clothe you to keep you warm. And so whatever that may be, that's what you get. If you don't like it, get a job. That was my dad's answer. So, and I thought it was a good thing. I look back on it now. I mean, at the time, I was kind of like, I don't know if this is a good thing or not. But now I look back on it, and believe me, you will look back on your life and you'll go, man, that was really something. That was a good thing that they did. You know, at the time, it doesn't look that way. But the orphan spirit worries about protection, right? But as you learn to walk in an identity as a son or daughter, these verses become real in your life. Psalm 23:4 says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You can be in the darkest time of your life. Go to that verse. It is fact. I've been there. I've been in the darkest time of my life. And guess who I called on? Jesus. That's when I asked him into my heart. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Psalm 91:4, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Psalm 121:7-8 says, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. You are not an orphan. Let's repeat that. I am not an orphan. Come on, let me hear you. I am not an orphan. So let's continue reading through our passage today. Paul continues, with all wisdom and understanding, this is verse 9, I believe, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Have you ever wondered what God's will is? You ever wondered that? Have you ever wondered what God is doing? Paul gives us a direct answer in these two beautiful verses. God is bringing all things in heaven and on earth together under Christ. God's math is different from ours. God does not do division. In fact, God can't stand division. Here are other scriptures that show how seriously God takes division. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say and what there and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and in thought. Ephesians 4:3 says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Proverbs 6:16-19 says, there are six things the Lord hates, 7 that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. John 17, verses 20 to 23. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Romans 16, 17 says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching that you have learned. Keep away from them. God's plan is to bring everything in heaven and on earth under the lordship and leadership of Christ. I know many of you have probably worked for a boss before who uses a different vocabulary than the norm, right? You know, the foul mouth kind. God's plan is to bring them under the loving leadership of Jesus Christ. See, he doesn't want not one to be lost, but that all would be saved. Amen? You know, maybe you have a gossipy friend who always talks behind your back. Guess what? God is working to bring them under the loving leadership of Jesus Christ. Or maybe it's that child of yours who has walked away from the Lord. I do have some. I have not given up faith. They left the church and no longer follow Jesus, maybe. Do not lose heart. God is working in ways that you cannot see to bring them back under the loving leadership of his son, Jesus Christ. My mom never lost faith in me, you know, coming to the Lord. She continued to pray. She knew where I was, wasn't in a good spot. She continued praying. She never lost faith. See, God is at work, and maybe we should be at work too. I don't know. You ever think about that? God's at work, so maybe we should be at work too. I'd like to suggest a new mindset for us as a church. Since God's love is so all-encompassing and transformative, maybe we can adopt a new mindset that honors God's intentions. Many of us have a mindset of us versus them. An us versus them mindset is when we see ourselves as part of one group while viewing others as completely separate and inferior or an enemy. The us versus them mindset creates division. We see it today. I could tell you this right now. You go onto Facebook and you know who your Christian friends are. Go on there. Look at their posts. Look at the political ones especially. I guarantee that you will find some. because we have this mindset, oh, we're this party and we're better than them. I'm going to tell you, I don't believe all Republicans have the Christian faith. The same as I don't believe all Democrats have a Christian faith. The same as I don't believe all independents have a Christian faith. Everybody is in a different spot in their life. And if we're not unified, how are we to witness to those who don't know Jesus? See, knowing Jesus is not this special club over here of the elite or the high and mighty. Because remember, you're still a sinner. It's only by the grace of God that you have been saved. We tend to forget that. We need to remember that. On the other hand, an us for them mindset is about seeing all people as created in the image of God and worthy of love and forgiveness. It does say that, but way back in Genesis. How are we created? In His image. Wow. So does that mean the person who doesn't believe as I do, that they are created that way too? That's what it means. That's what it means. See, I know we know people like this, and probably some people think of me like this because I could be annoying. But many people who are annoying, hurtful, dangerous, or rude simply don't know that they have a Father in heaven ready to adopt them as their son or daughter. I was there. I remember that was me. And us for them mindset causes us to share God's transformative and all-encompassing love with them consistently over time, even when it hurts. We're for them and not against them, regardless of how they treat us in return. God does not have an us versus them mentality. God is for them and not against them. Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. Amen. God's plan is to bring all things in heaven and on earth under the loving leadership of Jesus. We can partner with God with an us for them approach to loving others around us. Number three, you've been given the Holy Spirit. You have been given the Holy Spirit. Let's go to the last few verses in our passage. Paul writes, in Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. See, you've been given the Holy Spirit. You have been given that gift, the Holy Spirit. Ephesians says it Right here. Paul describes the Holy Spirit as a down payment, a deposit in your life which guarantees your inheritance as a son and daughter of God. I like to say two things about the Holy Spirit in your life. First, the Holy Spirit is not a feeling. The Holy Spirit is not a feeling. If you don't feel the Holy Spirit, that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit's not there. It's okay to not feel anything because the Holy Spirit is not a feeling. Can you feel your liver right now? Can you feel your liver right now? Can you feel your gallbladder? Well, if you got gallstones, you could probably feel that, I bet, right? Or your kidney if you got kidney stones. But you can't feel the actual organ. Can't feel that, right? You can't feel those organs, but still, they're inside of you. They're inside of you, but you can't feel them. The Holy Spirit's not a feeling or an abstract force, but a distinctive person abiding within you. The Holy Spirit provides a constant presence and connection with God the Father and Jesus the Son. This presence within you helps guide, comfort, and support you. The Holy Spirit teaches and reminds us of Jesus' teachings, guiding us in truth and helping us to understand and apply God's word. The Holy Spirit empowers you to live out your faith, giving you strength to overcome challenges, resist temptation, and witness to others about the love of God found in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit gives various spiritual gifts, enabling you to serve the church and those in your life effectively and fruitfully. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, helping us to recognize our need to repent and lead us back into the loving arms of the Father who adopted us. The Holy Spirit is an active presence in your life, working in all sorts of ways to fulfill God's purposes. Sometimes the experience of the Holy Spirit will elicit feelings of peace, joy, or conviction. But remember, the Holy Spirit is much more than just a feeling. It's a vital, living part of our relationship with God. Second, you have not been given a demo version of the Holy Spirit with limited capabilities and partial functionalities. You know, it's not like a car. You know, get a demo. Let me demo this for a while and see what it's like. That's not who the Holy Spirit is. Okay? You've been given the full version. Okay? Teens, kind of like getting a software. You know, sometimes they sell software and they give you the demo version, the free version, right? That's not how it is with the Holy Spirit. When you get the Holy Spirit, you get the full version, okay? You have the Spirit of Christ dwelling within you that you can access right at that moment, right now. And you could draw upon it. The way we walk in the Spirit is by faith and not by feeling. We read the biblical truths, and then we walk in them regardless of how we feel. When we walk in the Spirit, the things Jesus did, then he will do it now in our lives. Walking in the Spirit means walking by faith, in courage, and with great love and humility. Let the Holy Spirit lead you today and every day. Let's close by recapping our main ideas for today. First, God's love is all-encompassing and surpasses understanding. And I pray that you encounter his love today. Second, because God loves you, he has adopted you into his family as this son, as his son or daughter, right? And as a sign of this adoption, he's marked you with the promised Holy Spirit that abides in you right now, whether you feel him or not. And I pray that you become more aware of his presence today. Third, God is working to bring all things in heaven and on earth under the loving leadership of Jesus Christ. We can partner with God by living with an us for them mindset when it comes to loving and serving others around us. I pray you have a chance to live for someone else today. Heavenly Father, as we conclude our time together, we are filled with gratitude for the insights that you have given us through your word. Thank you for revealing the vastness of your love, a love that is so high, wide, long, and deep that it surpasses all knowledge. May we continually experience this transformative love in our personal lives and within our community. We thank you for adopting us as your sons and daughters. Help us to embrace our true identity in you, leaving behind any orphan spirit of worry or fear. Remind us that you are our provider and protector, and that we can trust in your unfailing care and guidance. Lord, we also acknowledge your divine plan to unite all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. As we navigate a world full of divisions, empower us to live with an us for them mindset, reflecting your love to everyone that we encounter. May we be agents of your peace and unity, working alongside you to break down the barriers that divide us. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, our constant companion, teacher, and guide. Help us to walk by faith, drawing upon the full power of the Spirit within us. May we live boldly, courageously, and humbly, following the example of Jesus in all that we do. And as we leave this place, Lord, and return to our daily lives, let the truths that we've learned today take root in our hearts. Fill us with your Spirit. Strengthen us in your love and use us to bring glory to your name. May we encounter your love, walk in our identity as your children, and partner with you in bringing unity to the world. And Lord, today, Lord, as we leave your table and go to our fellowship table, Lord, we ask that you would bless the food that has been prepared, Lord. Bless the hands that have prepared it, Father God. And Lord, that you would bless our time together, Lord, as we eat and fellowship with one another. And we ask all these things in the mighty and precious name of Jesus. Amen.